Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
8 o'clock, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard on this Thursday night. We are 1 week away. We're in college football. We have college football in front of us right now, and we are 1 week away from the NFL. So we thought we'd talk some NFL here. 1 hour from now, Jack Fritz, High Hopes Podcast, will join us, talk some Phillies. I am excited again. I know I feel like an idiot for doing it, but I'm getting excited again for the Phillies, so we'll keep the Phillies conversation going. But let's go out to the guest line here, Ben Brown of Pro Football Focus. We are 1 week out from the Cowboys and Bucks kicking off the NFL season. Let's talk some NFL and get Ben's thoughts on the 2021 Eagles. Ben, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well, Joe. How are you doing tonight? I mean, like you said, 1 week until NFL football. I don't know what else we could ask for. I have college football on my TV show as well, so football season is here. I'm pumped.
Yeah, I can't wait. So I'm very excited. I'm watching the Ohio State-Minnesota game about to kick off. So I'm excited for that one. Maybe we'll get a college thought before our spot ends. But, Ben, let's start NFL. A week from now, Dallas will be playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defending champions. And then a week from Sunday in Philadelphia, we'll be locked into the Eagles on the road against the Falcons. Ben, what's your big picture thought on the Eagles? Obviously, last year was a disaster for them. Their over-under on wins is about 6.5. Ben, I think they're going to be better than people think. I'm not, you know, predicting a Super Bowl or anything, but I just look at them like, man, if they could be healthy on their offensive defensive line, I think it's probably the best combination in the division. And I happen to think there's some upside with Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Agree or am I crazy on this one?
I definitely agree with you on Jalen Hurts, right? He was a guy we really liked out of Alabama. Some of the research that we do, college to pro projections and some other things, we had him not necessarily as the best quarterback in that class, but he rated really well for a second-round pick. So I was, pleasantly pleased with what he put forth in his rookie season. I do think he can take, the next step this year. Obviously, he offers quite a bit with his legs as well, but I do think, they're kind of starting to put the pieces in place, right? I do really like Devontae Smith as, the wide receiver out there. Really good Alabama. Flashed a little bit with his route running ability during the preseason. So I think he's a valid weapon for him. So if Jalen Reagor can kind of come around a year or two, kind of, actually be involved, obviously he had a really bad rookie season with his injury situation. But if he can kind of be, a guy that they can rely on that offense, I do think this offense could be, right on par with what it's going to take to compete for the NFC East. I am down on the Washington football team. I am, obviously down like everybody else is on the New York Giants after their preseason fiasco. So I do think, the Eagles are projected to be or priced right now in the betting markets as the worst team in the NFC East. I don't necessarily agree with that. So I do think that they could potentially surprise some people as well. So I definitely buy into that fact.
So who would you say is your favorite? Do you have it as Dallas? Because I'm down on Washington as well, and it's a crazy trend that's been going on that we always reference here, that no team has won this division in back-to-back years since the 2003-04 Eagles. And actually, one of their players now hosts our afternoon show. That tells you how long ago it was since the team in that division won back-to-back years. So I downgrade Washington just because I think it's tough to do it in this division. And the Giants' offensive line, I mean, they've been trying to fix that thing for 5 years. It still stinks in front of Daniel Jones. I don't really take them seriously. Seriously, would you have Dallas as the favorite to win this division?
Yeah, I definitely think, and their price is the favorite. So I do think they are the odds-on favorite, but betting them at like plus 150 at that price, I'm not really on board with that. I do think, Dak Prescott seems like he's going to be okay with some of those lingering shoulder issues and stuff like that. But I still think, at the Eagles at plus 500, they're probably the best offering if you're willing to make a bet on it. Obviously, they're not the favorite. But I do think that they could surprise some people, right? And like you said, with the Giants, offensive line's really poor. And I don't buy into Daniel Jones really at all as a quarterback. I do think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a little bit overvalued from, you know, the Washington perspective. So I could make an argument for, you know, the Eagles having potentially the second best quarterback in the NFC East from my perspective. But if Dak Prescott, you know, their trio of wide receivers, if they play up to par, if there's no injuries, I do think that they're probably going to end up winning the NFC East. But if I'm betting on it, and getting kind of that plus money on the Eagles, I don't mind playing plus 500 for the Eagles at this point in time.
Ben, one thing I think is interesting heading into this year, and you're mentioning you know, the betting market for the NFC East and how it looks right now, is in general, I've been wondering if we're going to see more unders, teams win less games than we think, in the NFC this year versus the AFC, because this year the AFC has an extra home game. Every NFC team is going to play 9 road games, 8 home games, and then vice versa with the AFC. And particularly, Ben, just the second part of it, in the NFC East, the day the schedules came out and we realized it was going to be a cross-conference thing with the AFC East, and then you would play the team that finished in the same spot as you, instantly I realized that became an advantage for the Eagles if this is a one-game kind of swing, because the way it shakes out is the Eagles will play the Jets, the Giants will go to Miami, the Washington football team will go to Buffalo, and Dallas will go to New England. But by far, the Eagles have the most manageable game of all those road games. In general, what do you think about this 17-game schedule, and do you think it will lend itself to maybe more AFC wins and less NFC wins?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, right? We are, you know, obviously the AFC has the advantage this year. That's going to flip next year. I do think that just if you're looking at it solely from a betting perspective, I do think it complicates betting on win totals this year just because we don't have as much data on a 17-game season. But you hit the nail on the head, right? The Eagles have by far the easiest matchup in the AFC East. Obviously, the Jets have been a little bit of a laughingstock. Second overall pick, Zach Wilson, does look like he could, you know, potentially play. I do kind of buy into the narrative that all five rookie first-round quarterbacks could potentially pan out in the NFL. And I do really like Zach Wilson, so I'm in saying that, I do think that the Eagles probably have the easiest schedule playing up against the AFC East, but I do think that there's still some concern with the New York Jets this year. But I think in general, the Eagles have a viable path to make noise in that NFC East. So I don't know. I think if you're playing win totals, I would probably lean more towards like to make playoff bets as opposed to betting a lot of the win totals, especially on the underside for the NFC. But I do think in general, the AFC conference is a better conference overall from top to bottom than the AFC is at this point in time. So I think maybe that, you know, that could play into your idea of the win totals potentially falling a little bit short on the NFC side.
Ben Brown of Pro Football Focus joining us here. We're 1 week away from the start of the NFL season. Cowboys and Bucks kicking it off just about exactly a week from right now. Ben, so when the Eagles play their season opener, they'll be down in Atlanta against the Falcons. What's your thought on that team? I'm struggling to get a read on them. They have a new coach, Arthur Smith, and there's some obviously big names that are still, you know, I still think Matt Ryan could play, and Ridley's a really good wide receiver. They draft Kyle Pitts. I thought it was a good draft pick for them. So they can still be explosive on offense. But you look at that roster, I see a lot of holes and just problem spots for them. I think it's a winnable game for the Eagles. Your thoughts on Atlanta, the first team the Eagles will see this year?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a winnable game for the Eagles, right? 3.5-point spread at this point in time. I would probably lean Eagles over, you know, being over that key number 3-point time. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? The Falcons are in this weird position where they almost seem like they're making some moves with this win now mentality, right? Like I would put the Kyle Pitts drafting Kyle Pitts is kind of this win now mentality, but then they kind of didn't necessarily have to get rid of Julio Jones, but they did jet them. So after they made that move, I started to kind of question how good they could actually be in 2021. But I am a big Arthur Smith fan. I do think that he was probably the best head coaching hire this offseason. What he was able to do in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill kind of rejuvenated Ryan Tannehill's career. I do think that he could, you know, potentially work some of that similar magic with Matt Ryan, see some really heavy play action, high play action passing, put this overall offense in a really good situation. But I do still think they're kind of they're weak at some positions that are, you know, they have a really bad secondary. Basically, AJ Terrell hasn't necessarily panned out as a cornerback. Isaiah Oliver, another guy, really struggles in the slot. So I do think that their defense is going to be really exploitable. So from like a betting perspective, I actually kind of like playing the over in the Eagles-Falcons game if I'm betting that 48-point total. That's kind of the spot. I do think we could see some fireworks. I do think Jalen Hurts could potentially get loose. And I think that they, you know, don't make a bad underdog play going into Atlanta, kind of setting the tone for week one. So I kind of buy into the Eagles a little bit here, pulling the potential upset here in week one.
Ben, last one for you. Nick Sirianni, we're going to still learn about him as a head coach. And we don't know exactly what his offense will look like because, well, I think he purposely didn't show us in the preseason, and the Eagles basically only play their guys in these joint practices. But just based on his 3 years as the offensive coordinator of the Colts, the way they ran their offense, Reich was really running it, but Sirianni was his offensive coordinator. What did you think of the last 3 years? Different quarterbacks, so it wasn't always the same, but the way the Colts ran their offense, the way they did things, if Sirianni brings something like that here, your thoughts on Sirianni and what he might bring to the table offensively?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think that there was a better coach that Sirianni could learn under than Frank Reich at this point in time, right? Being able to kind of learn under him, even if he wasn't, you know, necessarily calling the offensive plays, I do think understanding the overall game script, how to build that, how to call plays, even if he wasn't necessarily doing it, he was obviously tuned into what Frank Reich was doing. I don't think there's probably a better offensive coordinator or a better, you know, overall coach that you could learn the offensive coordinator position from and that head coach position from than Frank Reich at this point in time. So I definitely buy into Sirianni potentially being successful. The Frank Reich-led Colts, you know, didn't have an overall great quarterback. They kind of had Philip Rivers in the twilight years, and they were still a team that generated the best EPA per offensive play on scripted plays than any other team in the NFL for the past two seasons. So I think from that perspective, understanding how good he was as a coach in Frank Reich, I do think if that carries over at all for Nick Sirianni, I do think they're going to be a really successful team. It might take a year or two. It might take a little bit of time for Jalen Hurts to kind of develop in that system, but I do think that the pieces are in place and everything looks the part for Nick Sirianni to definitely be successful in Philadelphia.
Yeah, we're excited to start watching it play out next weekend. Ben, I appreciate a few minutes tonight. Ben Brown of Pro Football Focus. We'll be reading. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Joe. Have a good night.
There he goes. Ben Brown there. Some good stuff. How about that? He's a Jalen Hurts fan, interested in Sirianni. Eagles plus 3.5 next weekend. We had Howard on Riding with the King the first hour. Howard thought the number want to make him stay away from the game. I agree with Ben on the over. I think there's going to be points scored in the game, Eagles-Falcons. But we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet, Tucker, but it's going to arrive pretty quickly here. What's your first thought when you think Eagles-Falcons? High scoring, low scoring? I think close game.
I think it's a close game. I think they're pretty evenly matched. But what I do kind of find interesting, I think the Falcons' offense is far superior to their defense.
Yes.
And if you kind of take what we learned in training camp and what has been reported from a lot of people, the Eagles' defense is far superior to their offense. And that may be because their offense is kind of vanilla and they weren't really putting it all out there in preseason. And we'll see a completely different look come week one. That's very possible. But I almost feel sort of the opposite. I almost feel like this could be a bit of a slog of a game. Like if the Eagles' defense is as good as we think it is, They shouldn't have much problem shutting down Matt Stafford, especially with that offensive line that they're rolling out week one.
So
and
the Eagles
offense, even if you're excited about Nick Sirianni, I still think there are going to be growing pains with everybody here. And maybe he does jump out week one and surprise people. But if there were a few kind of false start and odd penalties and just clerical stuff that doesn't really get through, we've talked about his play calling procedure before where he's going to give it to Shane Steichen and he's going to give it to Jalen Hurts, and
right. There's
going to be a delay game on like a 3rd and 8 in the fourth quarter that's going to push him out of field goal range. I do worry about things like that.
Yeah, that's interesting. The idea the Eagles strength matched up against the Falcons' strength, and then the Eagles try to, you know, their weakness maybe against the Falcons' weakness. We shall see. 215-592-9494. I tend to think the playmakers will find out a way to make some plays as the game goes along. Like I'm nervous about, you know, Ridley and Pitts against the Eagles secondary.
I like a Kyle Pitts breakout week, right? Like, he's supposed to be the most dangerous offensive weapon from this rookie class.
Did you see that video? There was a screen pass they threw him. Did they play the last preseason game against the Browns last week? I think they did. It was like a primetime game. There was a play in that where he took like a little screen pass, you know, near the line of scrimmage, and he started running. And if I told you it was a wide receiver and not a tight end, you would have believed me. Like that. I just wonder, how are the Eagles covering him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess
Anthony Harris?
Don't know how they would do it, because maybe use Anthony Harris.
It worries me. And Davion Taylor would be a candidate, but he got hurt in the beginning of camp. Like he's got that kind of skill set if they're going to play him this year to cover a fast. I don't know. There's some matchup problems that I worry about there. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Ron in Montco. What's up, Ron?
Joey Jiggles made a funny.
I did. What did I say?
Harper and the Iron Pigs.
Oh, you like that one? You like that one?
Everybody says you have zero personality, dude, and I fight back. I push back.
I mean, the real personality on this show is Ron and Monco. That's what we know.
Yeah, okay. Let me get this out of the way. You know why umpires umpire?
Why?
Because they can't play. Never could, never will. Just remember that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, what's that about, though? What are we talking about?
You'll figure it out.
All right. What do you think? Are you excited for the Phillies again?
No, I'm not.
Oh, they broke your heart last time.
Well, they've been breaking my heart for years. This is just another episode, you know. But you know what? I'm gonna give you a way to watch the Phillies. You get two other shows that you like, mm-hmm. you know, and you just go back and forth. You check in every about 20 minutes every half hour. I go between commercials. That's how I watch the Phillies, if I even watch them anymore.
Six in a row, Ron. 1.5 out.
Ah, man, come on. Listen, Real Muto, I'm giving him a pass again this year. I mean, and I'll tell you why. And don't cut me off because I want to get to the Sixers.
Okay.
Listen, I'm giving him a pass again this year. I gave him a pass the first year. Okay, his first year here, I'm like, and he didn't get started until after the second half of the season. I'm like, where is this guy at? When is he going to do what I thought he was going to do? And then he finally kicked it in his first season. He kicked in, okay? And then he played great defense, caught great, but didn't hit until well after the half of the year. Like Harper did the same thing, you know? But and the second year, he's just flat out hurt and can't attend the dance, you know. And then this year, he broke his thumb. Now I'm gonna give him a pass again because, you know, I broke my thumbs. Okay, you ever broke your thumbs, Joe?
I have. I've broken my ankle, never a thumb.
Okay, well I've broken just about everything. But I'm telling you, when you break your thumbs, you're dumb. Okay, how he even came back with if that's what he had was a broken thumb. I mean, just imagine having a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, off your hands on a broken thumb.
It seems like a problem. It seems like a problem.
It's brutal. So I'm going to give him a pass again. But, you know, other than that, I mean, this signing with him is just going down the toilet as far as I'm concerned. Because when they said he was coming, and then I'm like, okay, that's great. That I love this move, okay? I would have done that 8 days a week. That trade I would have done 8 days a week when they did it. Okay, then he gets here, and then Girardi gets here, and, you know, I'm like, that's it. These are the two pieces that are going to change everything, that are going to, you know, that are going to change this whole thing. You know what I mean? Because the catcher-manager relationship, if you have a catcher like that, he's the field general. He's like a coach on the field. He's the go-to guy for the manager, okay? And he hasn't done that, you know. He just doesn't. He's very quiet behind the plate, man. Everything about him is quiet. But anyway, listen. Let me jump to the Sixers. You know, could they have written a better soap opera than what we got here?
I don't know if they could have. All they do is keep putting their foot in their mouths. All of them over there.
Dude, it's. Listen, I got to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back when, how many years is it now, when they went to their first playoff against Boston? Remember that?
Yeah, it was 17, I believe, so 4 years.
Okay, so it's 4 years now. You didn't, when you watched that series with Ben Simmons, you didn't go, uh-oh.
Oh, I did. I did. Of course.
We got a problem here?
Yeah. They had to take him off the court. They had to take him off the court for T.J. McConnell.
Listen, if nothing else, that Boston series with all you sports eggheads down there, okay, didn't say this our number one pick, this is our guy, this is all the Sixers' fault. Ben is Ben, okay? Everybody's asking, whose fault is this? This is the Sixers' fault. They didn't see this. They didn't catch this. And the only word that came out on him when he come out of LSU, the only word I ever got out on him is he had no heart. That's all I ever heard about him. Okay.
Well, that was right. Because we found that out. We found it out the hard way.
Well, here's the thing, though. Every year they kept trying to put a square peg in a round hole with him, and every year he kept showing him what he is. And guess what? Now they are skunked. And now, and why did they give him that contract, that big contract? They didn't have to give him that big contract then. You know why they did it? Out of fear. They were scared all the Lakers talk, all the talk. He's going to skip out. He's going to want out. You know what? Guess what? They did the same thing with Embiid. They're scared to death that he was going to leave because Ben is staying. And what did they do? They gave him a max deal. This 76ers team is dust. They're done. They just signed their death warrant when they gave him that monster deal. They're done, Joe.
It's over?
It's over, dude.
Yeah, well, Ron, I unless Daryl Morey pulls a rabbit out of his hat with this trade, yeah. Ron, I appreciate the phone call. I agree. Their opportunity to win a championship with Joel in his prime, it doesn't feel like it's going to happen. I mean, I'll say it like that. I know they had the number one seed. It just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. 215-592-9494. When we come back, I got to give you my feeling on the Eagles 1 week out, and I haven't mentioned it on this show, but we've talked about them being a good team, and I think they're going to surprise people this year. But the more I think about one thing in particular, one aspect of the NFL and how it involves the Eagles, the more excited I get. I'll bring that up next. 215-592-9494. Also, quickly on what Ron said, I think Ron is right about the fear, about the contract. You know, do you find it interesting that we've had two players here crumble in the last year? Carson Wentz, Ben Simmons. And both of them, their teams fell over themselves to pay them as much as they could, as early as they could, because they thought it was the right thing long term. Has anyone ever wondered if maybe these teams need to take a deep breath on paying players as early as they can? Because I understand the advantage, right? Especially in the NFL, maybe you get the guy cheaper than you would have. But like, there is a downside to it. The Eagles have the most dead cap in the NFL this year, and that usually leads
by about $8 million.
Yeah, like, is the perceived advantage of signing a player early worth it versus the risk of if he flops, you're screwed financially. Like, screwed financially. Like, I think these teams think the gain is more than it is. Like, cool, your quarterback makes $3 million less than the next guy who got paid 6 weeks later. Great. Throw a party for it. If he flops and begs out, you got $50 million in dead cap. 215-592-9494. Same thing with Ben. He's a max player, and he's not a great player. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back. Are you buying in again? Are you ready to buy into the Phillies? I am. I'm excited. Tucker's not. He just won't let himself get there. I'm excited. I'll give my take on the 2021 Eagles. That's coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard here. 9 o'clock, Jack Fritz, High Hopes Podcast, and the WIP Afternoon Show will join us. Talks of Phillies. We know he's excited about the Phillies. I mean, I could guess that one already. I don't need to wait for Jack to say he's back in and Phillies are hot.
I mean, he was bouncing off the walls earlier.
I mean, come on. They win one game, he's back in. So we'll talk to Jack coming up at 9 o'clock about all things Phillies. They head to Miami, take on the Marlins tomorrow. Six straight wins, and I am excited again. Tucker is not. He's not letting himself get hurt or making himself vulnerable or whatever dumb phrase we talk about. He's not.
That's the guy who called himself an idiot 2 hours ago.
I am. I mean, I recognize the reality of the Phillies. I'm not blind to who they are. I'm not blind to who's in the lineup. I'm not blind to who's hurt and who's out for this.
I'll just say it again. I'm an idiot.
And like, we're going to get a lot of use out of that one over the course of the football season, I'm sure. But I am, because I'm excited again. Are you? 215-592-9494. All right, quickly, before we go back to the phone lines, I want to make my position on the 2021 Eagles known here on this show. Now, I did a show with Ike when I was in for Mark's a couple weeks ago, and we talked about this, but I haven't brought it up here. But I've thought more and more about this over the past couple weeks. And every time I think about it, I keep coming back to this reality. I believe the Eagles are going to win the NFC East this season. And let's not confuse that with me thinking they're going to win the Super Bowl or win 11 or 12 or 13 games. I don't think they're going to do those things. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're ready. I don't think they're there. It's a retooling year, $50 million in dead cap, all that. But I think the Eagles, number one, I've said this for months, they're going to be better than people think. I think they will go over their win total, which is set at 6.5. And I believe they're going to be a solid, decent, solid to good football team, right? In that 8-9-ish win range. That's where I've had them for months. I think the first time I looked at the schedule, I said 8-9. And now as I've gotten myself all excited this summer, I've bumped that up to they could win 9 games. And if you win 9 games in the NFC East, you can win the NFC East. And let me point out the reasons. Number one, the biggest reason I think the Eagles are going to be pretty good and compete to win this division is they have the best combination of offensive and defensive line in the division. Bottom line. I mean, Washington's front seven is great. I'm not taking that away from them. It's better than the Eagles. But I don't think their offensive line is particularly great. It's all right. You know, Sheriff is a good right guard. I mean, they have some good players on the line, but it's not a great offensive line. Dallas is not what it was. And the Giants, please. I mean, they couldn't block you. I mean, it might be the worst offensive line or bottom five in the league again. And defensive lines, the Eagles are very good. Offensive line, they're very good. I think it's the best combination of lines in the division. So they start with that. I believe they will get better quarterback play this year. My goodness, they can't get worse. So they're going to get better quarterback play. I think Jalen Hurts takes a step forward. They'll actually have leadership at the quarterback position this year, which, hello, they didn't have last year. And by the way, the ex-quarterback's now taking media questions about why he's not vaccinated. He's doing the research on it. All I know is this. If my team better have his quarterback vaccinated, and that means he doesn't have to miss time and miss practice or miss a game for no reason. So I think that's a part of it. Like, at least Jalen Hurts, I know, is all in, and the guys play for him and they like him. He's a good leader. I like that. And the more I've observed this coaching staff, I think there might be something there. And I'm willing to admit that my strong stance on Doug Peterson not being the reason or the problem last year, you know, I may have been misguided in that I think I was missing the boat. Not that Doug got dumb overnight or he couldn't coach, but Doug Peterson had a lack of energy last year. It was evident. I remember Tucker bringing it up last August. We talked about it during the season. He looked fried. He looked tired. I don't know if Nick Sirianni is going to be a great coach, but you know what I know? He's going to have energy every week, and he's going to bring, like, there's going to be a pep in the step of a young coaching staff. Last year, didn't it all feel like, I don't know, like the month of November felt like death rolled over there. Like, all of them, like, they just all looked like they wanted to go home, and they played like it.
Yeah, and I understand with the new coaching staff, there is new invigoration.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's a word.
They are invigorated.
But they are, right? I mean, look at Gardner Minshew went from demanding to compete for a starting job to taking the Eagles' third string job so he can settle an old score with Nick Sirianni over pickup basketball. I mean, what a fun team this can be, but I also look at it, and while they are young and they're fun and they have a lot of energy, sometimes you need someone to say, whoa, 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 that maybe this is too much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't do this. This is the NFL. These are professionals. I'm not saying they necessarily need a babysitter, but think back to most of the coaches that Jeff Lurie have hired. There usually is a babysitter here, right? I mean, he had Jim Johnson come in.
Sure.
With Andy Reid. Jim Johnson was a longtime defensive coordinator, was never a head coach, but he had about 20 to 25 years of coaching experience in the NFL. He had Bill Davis came in with Chip Kelly. They had Jerry Azzanero. Chip Kelly had a lot of veteran guys. Pat Shurmur came in with Chip Kelly to be his offensive coordinator. And then, obviously, with Doug Peterson, he had Jim Schwartz come in. And for the first time, this is a team that really, they don't have that guy. Like, they don't have that guy who can sit down and say, hey, just a heads up, in my experience, this hasn't worked. Because these guys don't really have that much experience.
I guess Stoutland is the only one, right? Stoutland's the only veteran coach.
And he's been here. Like, yeah. I guess he kind of isn't coming in with a fresh pair of eyes. But he has been here.
Right.
I'd argue he's been the best offensive line coach in football since he's been here.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is a worry. It's a very young coach. But I like what I've seen so far. Jonathan Gannon, every time I hear him talk, I feel like I'm listening to a future head coach. Jonathan Gannon's got his, like, he just sounds sharp. I'm excited to see what he could do. So I think the coaching will be better this year. Younger, maybe they'll have their own growing pains, but I think it'll be a better coach team. The quarterback play will be better. Their offensive and defensive line should be the best in the division combination. We know teams don't win this division in back-to-back years. That eventually that'll be Bucks, but that's been a trend for a long time. So Washington, and look, I know everyone's like, oh my goodness, the Washington football team defense. Did you ever look at the quarterbacks that the Washington football team defense beat last year, who they racked up all their numbers against? Go look at them. A lot of Ben DiNucci's in there, and the Jalen Hurts, Nate Sudfeld combination, Carson Wentz. Go look at the quarterbacks they have to play this year. Mahomes, Herbert, Dak. I don't think they're going to be quite as dominant as they were last year. So Washington, I don't think, is a lock. Dallas, I mean, Mike McCarthy is a boob, and Dak Prescott is hurt again. Like, that team, I'm not taking that seriously. They always underachieve. And as far as the Giants go, they can't block you. Daniel Jones can't play, and they can't block you. Like, that team's not winning the NFC East. So the more I think about, like, why not the Eagles with a last-place schedule in a division? Like, if there was a team that could win 11, I disqualify the Eagles. I would say they can't get there. Like this kind of reminds me of 2016 to an extent, right? The first Carson Doug year, and they got off to a good start, and they faded, and they won seven. But even if they got to 9 that year, it wouldn't have mattered because the Cowboys that year, I think, won 13 games.
They won 13-3.
Yeah, I don't think that exists in the division this year. Like, if you can get to 8 or 9 in this division, I think you can win the division. And I think the Eagles can get to 8 or 9. 215-592-9494. I believe the Eagles are going to win the NFC East. I just, like, the more this plays out, I'm like, why not them? Let's talk to Doug in Connecticut. I know Doug's ready to talk some Eagles at all times. What's up, Doug?
Always, man. And, you know, like, I've told you before, I'm not a Phillies fan. I'm not a Sixers fan. But, and you couldn't pay me to watch a baseball game unless maybe it's the playoffs. But you could hear the momentum in that game. Like, I don't know why. I think I was waiting to, you know, hear either Ike or whoever. And the game was on the Odyssey app.
Yep.
You could hear the momentum in that game. That was pretty cool.
It was. You could feel the whole thing switching. And the Phillies, they're doing a good job right now, 6 in a row. But, Doug, we got what? We got 10 days away from Eagles football. What are you thinking?
And you know what? It kind of – you're just talking about 2016. I don't know the last time I felt like this. I'm okay if we struggle, but I don't think we're going to struggle as much as a lot of us think we might. I'm ready to see Jalen for 16 games. I'm ready for the fan base to know whether he is or is not the guy. 3.5 games is not enough, and gadget plays prior to that. That's not enough. And the O-line should be better. It's a better O-line. And the play should be better. Better running game, maybe. Two cornerbacks with experience you'd hope would improve that to a degree. And you know what? In 2016, we just had some wins that year that was just like, wow, like we handled the Falcons, we handled the Vikings. There were just games mixed in there that were just like, wow, that's who we can be if Wentz is going to play like that and the defense is going to play like that. And you know what, to be honest, I feel like we've already started off a winning season this year because we can't – if they're really going to trade for Watson, like Howie's already got me and other members of his fan base like on the fence of, maybe I should take a year off of watching this.
Doug, I've been so against it. I'm so glad it seems like it's not going to happen this year. Like, listen, all I've said for this 4 months now is give Hurts the year. Let's let this thing play out with Watson with the legal thing. Right now, my feeling is I don't want him. I mean, I think to be fair, if this all turns out to be not true and he's exonerated, then I would rethink it, and I think the Eagles would too. But I don't want him right now. I don't want to root for that guy right now. And I think Hurts is going to be a good quarterback. I want to give him a year to prove he isn't or he is the guy. And I think really what I think is going to happen, Doug, is I think he's going to play well enough to give them a really difficult decision after this season.
And you know what? There aren't many quarterbacks out there that I would want more than the talent of Deshaun Watson.
Right.
But they're really good. They would really try to buy their way out of that. Of all these missed draft picks. And just go get him with all that baggage and whatever, and all the women fans that we'd lose. I mean, really, no. Let's get through this year with Jalen and just see what happens. And you know what? Maybe you got those 3 first-round picks, maybe, and we just build this defense back up, like, to be proud of this defense again.
Yeah,
like,
they could build Like, if Jalen works out and they have all that cap room and 3 first-round picks, potentially, and it might be 2 because Carson might not be able to get himself on the field all year, but if they have 3 first-round picks or 2 first-round picks and Jalen Hurts turns out to be a kind of a good to very good to serviceable, whatever you want to call him, a middle-of-the-pack quarterback at a cheap price, like, it's the best path forward is him taking – they keep saying they want him to take the reins. Well, he took the reins at training camp. He became the starter. He is the starter. Keeping the reins would be a great thing for the Eagles. I mean, just bottom line, it would. The better he plays, the better it is for the Eagles. And I think he's going to play well. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. I think Tucker saw a ghost back there. You all right?
Yeah, no, the cleaning woman over here just dropped a real loud metal trash can. I guess you didn't hear it?
I can't. No, I think this room is soundproof.
My room's supposed to be.
I guess it's not.
Apparently not.
I mean, it looked like something bad happened back there. All right, one last point I want to make on why I think the Eagles are going to win this division. And I mentioned this to our guest, Ben Brown, about 40 minutes ago for Pro Football Focus. The Eagles have an advantage, a significant scheduling quirk advantage in the division this year. And if this thing comes down to a game, which last year did, right? The NFC East was won on a wacky Eagles tanking. Washington wins the game week 17 instead of the Giants. If it comes down to one game, the Eagles have an advantage that no team in this division has. And now they have to actually cash in on it, but they have an advantage. So the way it works this year with the 17th or the 18th game, excuse me, 17th, I'm thinking ahead for down the line, the 17th game this year is the AFC East versus the NFC. So the NFC East is going to play teams from the AFC East for the 17th game. They're all on the road. The NFC East will all go on the road to their counterpart in the NFC East. And you play the team that finished in the same spot as you last year, right? So the Eagles will play the last place team in the AFC East and, you know, third and second and first. That's how it works. Here are the matchups. And the way I read this, and just my guess, is that all three of the other teams in this division could lose that extra game and the Eagles could win it. And that could be the swing. So the Giants go to Miami. Miami will obviously be favored. The Cowboys go to New England. I think New England will win that game. And the Washington football team goes to Buffalo. Buffalo will be a big favorite. So, like, all three other teams in this division could lose that extra 17th game. Meanwhile, the Eagles will go to the Jets. The Jets stink. So, like, I think that's a big deal. And now they still have to take advantage. They have to win the game. There could be an upset somewhere else. But just on the surface, that's a big scheduling quirk for the Eagles. Let's talk to Vince, who's in Langhorne. Hey, Vince.
Yo, how you doing tonight?
Good, Vince. How are you?
I'm good. You inspired me to give you a call relative to the Phillies and whether or not I'm in or I'm not in.
So what are you thinking?
And, well, look, I'm a fan of five decades, but I'm not buying in. I've just been around too much and I've seen too much. And, you know, I really struggle with the fact that even though we're hanging in there, beating bad teams and hanging in there, you look up and down this lineup, and you know, the bullpen and our starters, and you just continue to not be able to find any homegrown talent with this team. And I've seen it for so long, and it's tough to watch. You look at, like, the beginning of this month and the end of this month. I mean, the games against Washington had a big impact on the Phillies' move, right? Because Washington's terrible because they unloaded everybody and it's Soto and a bunch of minor leaguers.
Right.
So they, right? But at the same time, I got to tell you, Joe, when I look at that, I'm thinking to myself, for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, Washington made the right move and we didn't.
You know, they certainly were more pragmatic about where they were, and they're rebuilding now around Soto, and they actually got Vince. You know, they're not there yet, but the catcher they got that played in this series, the pitcher that pitched in the first game, they're pretty highly thought of. They got those guys from the Dodgers and the Turner and Scherzer deal, so they might not be down for long. Those kids might work out.
That's my whole point, Joe. My whole point is, we could have done the same thing. And because my struggle is, even if somehow we catch enough lightning in a bottle and, you know, Freeman gets hurt or something happens with Atlanta and we squeeze in, what happens? We exit in the first round and now we start next year and we're struggling to figure out, okay, what do we have to build on?
Right.
You know, that's the thing I struggle with so much is, being a long-term fan, right? And we know the stat, 116-year organization with 14 postseason appearances. You know, I've been a fan for 50, and I haven't seen more than 10, right? And you just kind of see this inability to recognize, draft, and develop young talent. So, I mean, man, just think about it. I'd be very excited if we had an Albies, or we had a Soto, or if we had a Freeman that we developed as part of this group. Now you got something to talk about. But you tell me, where do we go from here?
I don't know. I think your overarching point, I agree with it. I mean, it does. I understand why it takes away from some of the excitement. And Vince, I appreciate the phone call. I think I've mentioned this before, but we've talked about it on the show a little bit, or maybe during final outs, but at some point this summer, that I feel like, I guess there's two parts to this. One, it's the day-to-day thing, right? They're in a playoff race. They could play October baseball. That's fun. That's exciting. But if I had told you before the season, okay, September 2nd. If I had told you Thursday, September 2nd, we're doing a show, Phillies are just won. They came back. They won. They were down 6-0 against the Nationals on the road. They came back and won. They've won 6 in a row. They're a game and a half out of first place. I think we all would have guessed this city's excited. But I also would have guessed, if that was the reality, that crystal ball we're looking at, I would have guessed, like, oh, Alec Boehm must be really progressed as a, you know, from what he did his rookie year. He's now middle of the order bat. Spencer Howard, he's got to be in the rotation by now, right? He's a part of this. He's probably looking pretty good. like those Scott King, he must have bounced back. He must be part of this as a utility guy. Maybe he's a center fielder. Like all that would have been part of my guess. And the reality is none of those things happened. Alec Bohm is in AAA, and I don't think they're calling him back up. Spencer Howard was used to get Kyle Gibson, who has been a nice addition, but like he's not a 25-year-old starting pitcher. He's 33. And Scott Kingery is, I mean, just forget him. Like, just move on. Like, he got hurt, and he was too awful when he was here. So, yes, it does impact the long-term excitement, because there are no young players here right now that you feel good about. I think Vince is right on that. The long-term excitement, it's very difficult to generate. But that doesn't mean you can't be excited for a team trying to make the playoffs.
No, but he does have a point. I mean, this is kind of it for this team, right? When you think about what this team could be and maximizing their potential, even though Realmuto's hurt and Hoskins is done for the season, like, this is Bryce Harper's MVP season, right? When you signed Bryce Harper, you probably thought he had one or two of the, like, you can't expect him to lead the league in OPS every year, right? No. Like, this is it. This is peak Bryce Harper, and I don't want to say you're wasting him on a slightly above average or slightly above mediocre team, but
you kind of are.
That's where you are right now. Like, you're getting peak performance out of him. You're getting peak performance out of Zach Wheeler. Like, the guys that you paid for to come here and help this team, you're getting your money's worth, and it still isn't enough. And what's worrisome is kind of everyone contributing. You mentioned Bohm and Spencer Howard. Like, when you have guys that you develop, guys like Rollins and Utley and Howard and Hamels, like, people become attached to them, right? You see, you remember them as a rookie. You remember reading about them when they were in AAA and AA and going to see them at Reading. When a team's, you know, led by Bryce Harper, who we probably knew about since he was 16, I get he's a high-profile guy, but, like, if Kyle Gibson's your second starter next year, no one's excited about that. I always like when people like him or Torres, you know, come up and play well, and it's, this Torres guy is actually pretty good. You know, this Gibson guy can actually play a little bit. And that's kind of where we're at. Like, I don't think anyone really feels attached to any of these players.
No, it's a team of mercenaries. I agree that it's hard to get excited long term, and I don't know, like, this group is, it's a patch right now. It's even more patchwork than normal because they're all banged up. They lost Hoskins, they're injured. Now they do get Didi back tomorrow, and I think Jankowski. And again, these are not young players, but like they'll get some more of their normal major leaguers back this weekend, and we'll probably say goodbye to. Is Matt Vierling going back? I don't know. Maybe. I guess,
hope not. Well, you see, the other day, he's like one of four people to have an exit velocity over 100 on five different at-bats this season.
How about that?
It's like him, Harper, Soto, and somebody else.
All future Hall of Famers. Jeremiah in Potsdam. What's up, Jeremiah?
Yo, brother. How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Hey, I got 2 points, if you don't mind. My first one is about Ben Simmons. I'm blaming the Philly media on some of this, man. I don't believe Ben Simmons, and I'm a casual Sixers fan. I don't believe that Ben Simmons was the reason. I'm actually applauding Ben Simmons. I think there was a lot more faults in Game 7 than what everyone's getting on this guy's case about. I think this guy plays great defense. I think he's a team player, you know, and I believe Philly, they want to run out all the top athletes. They did it with AI. You got an AI who scored all the time. Now you got a guy who doesn't score all the time but passes the ball all the time and is a team player, and you want to trade him too.
Jeremiah,
go ahead.
Did you see the play with 3 minutes and 20 seconds to go when he passed up the dunk under the basket?
Yes, I did.
That's a team player?
Yeah, did he pass the ball?
He passed up points.
Yeah.
He passed up points, Jeremiah.
I know. He's an assist player.
No, Jeremiah, stop. Stop with the assist player. He is a – stop. Like you sound ridiculous. Jeremiah, he is a scared basketball player. He was scared of the moment.
I see your point in it, too. I do.
What do you mean the media, Jeremiah? What does that even mean? The Sixers are going to trade him, not the media.
No, you have multiple people calling – and you have multiple radios on this network wanting Ben Simmons out of town.
Jeremiah, yes. You know why? Because they're basketball fans, and they don't want to watch him play anymore.
Yeah, and you know what? They were calling for AI to get traded, too, and the guy scored every game. This is what they do.
This is what who does. Jeremiah, he's a $35 million point guard who won't shoot. Do you realize how ridiculous it is?
And you drafted him.
I didn't do anything. No, I didn't draft him. I'm sitting here.
but you guys were happy when he came here.
Because guess what? There was a fair expectation that, you know, he would improve, that he'd get better. He
exactly,
hasn't.
But the Sixers signed him again in extension. You guys applauded it.
Well, the Sixers were wrong.
Now at that hindsight, Joe.
But wait a second. So Jeremiah, wait a second. So when you're presented new information, you don't react to it. You just say, "Well, I thought this once, so I'm just going to always think that."
I was happy when they signed him.
Right.
I was happy. I think he's a good basketball player. I think he helps the Sixers. I think Doc Rivers and Harris are way more to blame in that series than Ben Simmons.
Jeremiah, can they win a championship with him as their point guard?
I'm a casual fan, Joe. I don't watch every game like you guys.
Well, Jeremiah, I'll tell you right now. Every other point guard in the league shoots, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
So the answer is no.
You don't know that. Joe.
No, I don't. Jeremiah, the answer is no. Jeremiah, he just had the worst playoff run of any player ever shooting free throws. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win with this guy. You can't.
All right, well, that's your opinion. You know, I disagree with that.
How can you win a basketball game if your point guard doesn't shoot? And like in the playoffs against other great teams? Explain it to me. If you think you can, I'd love to know the math on it, because the math tells me you can't.
Did they draft him as a point guard?
Yeah.
I don't think they drafted him as a point guard to run the point.
He's run the point.
They didn't have one.
He's run the point since the moment he arrived here. He's always been a point guard with the Sixers.
Hmm. Yeah, like I said, I don't watch every game. I just think this is way overblown with him. I think he helps the Sixers, man.
Jeremiah, I appreciate your phone call. I think you need to watch more of the games, maybe. That would maybe help inform you a little bit more on this particular subject. You're entitled to your opinion. I just love how it's the media's fault. You realize Ben Simmons is asking for a trade. Have we established that at this point? That happened this week. Ben Simmons is asking for a trade. The Sixers tried to trade him last year for James Harden, which they should have done, and they couldn't pull off. But the media, this reminds me of the Carson Wentz thing a little bit. Remember that we used to get calls like, Carson, he'd ever say he wanted to leave?
No, it's your fault, Joe.
Mine.
It's your fault that Carson Wentz left. You're too mean to him.
Do you think it's my fault that he's unvaccinated and he's going to cost his team this year?
Probably.
That's my fault. I haven't helped him with his decision. He's making a personal decision. I haven't helped him yet. These guys, the idea of blaming the media for what sports teams do is just absurd. Like, they're going to do what they want to do. Like, let's go to the Eagles with Deshaun Watson for a second, then we're going to have Jack on in a couple minutes. So if the Eagles do trade for Deshaun Watson, is this time they didn't listen to the media? Did the media get it right and the Eagles got it wrong? Because most people I've heard on this radio station and in print in this town don't want Deshaun Watson here, are kind of against the idea of Deshaun Watson. So does that mean if the Eagles do get him, that the media didn't do their job? I'm like, I don't understand it. Like, guess what happens? People just give their opinion on things. That's all. These teams are independent of what we think. You think the Eagles are making decisions based on what Tucker's saying over there? Or me?
I hope so.
Well, they're not.
But, like, our job's to be critical, right? And to be honest.
Yeah.
And to react to what the team does.
Exactly. That's what we do.
I'm not going to sit here and watch Ben Simmons shoot 35% from the foul line and say, you know what? That's okay.
No big deal.
I feel like he tried hard enough. Like, why would we kick him while he's down? No. Our job is to tell him, or not him, I guess, but it is to talk about, hey, this guy isn't getting the job done. Like, it would be disingenuous if we said otherwise.
Exactly. 215-592-9494. I guess we're to blame for Ben Simmons leaving town? Well, guess what? Good. See you, Ben. Jack up next. All your phone calls. We'll talk some Phillies. And I believe the Eagles are going to win the NFC East on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.